What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we are at game week. MEAC Swag Challenge is this Saturday, so the time for talking season is over. This is legit football season, and it's time to get into it. Alcorn State, North Carolina A&T, Saturday, August 28th, 6 p.m., Center Park Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia, MEAC Swag Challenge, man. Let's get it, man. This is a matchup. The MEAC Swag Challenge is a matchup that's been basically owned by the MEAC. They are 10-4 in this series. Only two swag teams have even won the MEAC Swag Challenge. That's Southern and Prairie View. Those are the only two teams to ever win a MEAC Swag Challenge. North Carolina Central, they lost to Prairie View in 2018 in the MEAC Swag Challenge. So this is their second game in the challenge. This is also Alcorn's second game in the MEAC Swag Challenge, as they had a game against Bethune-Cookman that was suspended due to the weather. So this is a matchup, as far as the history of this series goes, that the MEAC has got the better of the swag. So this could be one of those times where things can change. You know, a lot of people feel like, you know, Alcorn is going to pick up where they left off. You know, they really are, you know, the team to beat in the SWAC. They're moving over to the West Division, and, you know, they're being primed to win. We've talked about Alcorn quite a bit already, and everybody's pretty much about Alcorn. We know that they're especially loaded on offense, and they're facing the North Carolina Central team that a lot of people don't really know about. This team was not, they weren't honestly very good in the fall of 2019. They did not play in the spring, but they're a team that really struggled at the end of the 2019 season. They finished their season with a 4-8 record, and they really struggled at the end of the season. And we'll just take a quick look at what 2019 and let you know what we can expect. Like I said, they finished 4-8 overall, 3-5 in conference. They lost their first four games of the season. They lost their first three games of the season, scoring 25 points combined in those three losses. They lost 41-10 to Austin Peay. They lost 42-3 to Towson State, and 21-12 to Gardner Webb. They got a 45-7 victory over Elizabeth City State. They beat Morgan State 27-17. They lost to Florida A&M 28-21, Bethune-Cookman 27-13. They defeated Delaware State 30-23. They beat Howard 28-6. They lost to Norfolk State 38-21. And then they finished off their season losing to South Carolina State and North Carolina A&T, both in shutouts. So they actually got shut out in their last two games of the season. So that's definitely something that you don't really want to have happen. That's basically showing a team that just could not finish. You know, they really kind of ran short on energy during the season. They averaged about 17.5 points per game on the season, 27.3 allowed. They averaged 123 yards rushing per game, gave up 161. They allowed 185 yards passing per game. They only allowed 169 yards passing as a defense, with 14 interceptions as a defense. So they did a good job of turning over the opponents through the air. They threw 10 interceptions themselves and only 13 touchdowns. So the passing game was not the best. And as you can see, their numbers statistically overall, 308 yards per game. That's definitely not going to get it done. They had 4.6 yards per play. Rushing, they averaged 3.6 yards per play per rush. Defensively, they allowed a total of 330 yards per game and 5.1 yards per play. So as you can see, that the defense was not bad as far as against the run or the pass. They weren't that, they were great against the pass. They were okay against the run. Total defense was pretty good. They only allowed the opponents to complete 36% on third downs and 33% on fourth. Their problem was third downs as an offense. They only converted 30% on third downs and 30% on fourth downs. They fumbled 16 times and lost 10, giving them 20 turnovers. The opponents fumbled 15 times and lost 8, giving them 22 turnovers. So they were plus 2 in turnover ratio. They allowed 29 sacks on the season, and they had 29 sacks on the season. So the numbers are fairly even. They got in the red zone 29 times, scored 13 touchdowns. The opponents got in the red zone 40 times and scored 25 touchdowns. Isaiah Titan was the leading rusher. He had 159 carries, 636 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Passing, Richard, because I'm from Louisiana, it was probably Richard. He was 169 of 326, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,020 yards, 183 yards per game. Completed 51% of his passes, so that's, you know, not that great. Leading receiver was Ryan McDaniel, 39 catches, 368 yards, 3 touchdowns. Deshaun Stevens, 28 catches, 354 yards, 2 touchdowns. Defensively, they were led by Deontay Fair. He had 85 tackles, Jerome Foster, 82. Darius Royster, 75. The leading tackle for loss man was Royster with 16, so he did a damn good job of getting in the backfield. He also had 9 sacks to lead the team. Steven Stokes, 7 tackles for loss. Standback, 6.5. Fair, 5. Patrick, 4.5. Connor, 4.5. Tumon, 4.5. And they had 81 tackles for loss on the season in 2019. They allowed 93. So the line is definitely, offensive line is definitely an issue. Sacks, like I said, Royster with 9 sacks. Standback, 4.5. Manning, 2. Cox, 2. Interceptions. The leading interception man was Brian Mills. He had 5 interceptions on the season. So that's a guy who made some plays. And, you know, just to kind of look at what, you know, what to kind of expect from this team coming in, because like I said, there's not a lot of bright spots for them in the fall of 2019. So they definitely have a lot to work on. And they feel like they've, you know, kind of improved. They didn't play in the spring. So they didn't play in fall of 2020 or the spring. So they've been off for a long time. They do return, like I said, Isaiah Titan, who was a 3-time All-MEAC selection. He was the leading rusher on the team. He's not a big guy. He's a 5'9", 195-pound guy. He rushed for over 2,000 yards in his 3 years at North Carolina Central. They have a couple other backs who can carry the ball, Jordan Freeman, Jamel Curry Elliott, Latrell Collier is a guy, and they also picked up Josh Pullen from JUCO ranks. He's a power back, so they have a bunch of guys who can carry the ball. Like I said, Davius Richard, he was a freshman that actually ended up starting just one game into his freshman season. So he's back. He was learning on the job, so they feel like he has a better handle on the playbook. They returned their top 4 receivers, Ryan McDaniel. He's 6'2", 215. Deshaun Stevens, he's 6'2", 220. Tyler Barnes, 6'4", 210. EJ Hicks is a guy who is a kick returner, so he's a smaller guy. That's 3 guys over 6'2" at receiver, so that's definitely some good weapons. We're talking skill positions. Offensive line is definitely going to be where they need to get better. They're going to have to do a better job of opening holes for the running backs and protecting the quarterback. The secondary is the strength of the defense. Steven Stokes and Manny Smith were both all-conference preseason MEAC. Brandon Codrington was the league's top kickoff returner. He averaged 18.8 yards per return and 1 touchdown. He was first team at kick returner. And they have some guys who, like I said, who can make some plays on the line of scrimmage. Jesse Mallett, he was the probably the best guy returning. DeAndre Brown and Trey Turner are also guys who are good at. Kobe Warrior is a transfer from Morgan State on the defensive line. Manning and Mansfield are guys who play at the tackle spot. And they, like I said, they're a defensive first team because Trey Oliver is the head coach. He was the defensive coordinator at Southern for a little while. So you can expect them to play really solid on defense. They're gonna, like I said, they did a good job plays against the pass, but they just offensively just could not get it done. So that's gonna be something that you really have to look for. Because this is a game, this is both teams' first game since 2019. So that's, you know, a lot of kinks have to be worked out. And I, you know, this is, for me, this is a good matchup for Alcorn because I feel like they, you know, they're not playing the best team in the country. And, you know, they're playing a team who has the potential to be good. But I think right now, this is probably the better matchup for them. I want to say the point spread is 13. I might be wrong on that in it, but that's you know, I expect Alcorn to cover. I'm just gonna go ahead and throw that out there right now. Alcorn is preseason, you know, SWAC favorites. You know, they return Lee Charles Pringle at receiver, Nico Duffy at running back, Felix Harper, the trigger man at quarterback. And they're just going to be some, you know, a team who really is going to take care of business. I mean, you know, not much is going to change from Alcorn under Fred McNair. So if you know Alcorn, you pretty much know where they stand. They this team is ready. You know, like I said, they really feel like they're ready. They've added some pieces in the portal and out of the portal as well. But they're going to be led by Felix Harper. The team is gonna go. The receivers are guys who can make catches and they block well. The running backs are gonna be a really good group of guys. This, you know, is not so much to really say about this team. If you haven't already watched my Alcorn preview, I listen to it, then I suggest that you do that. Alcorn on 2019, just a quick statistical rundown. Couple of things to throw out there. They averaged 33 points per game on offense, allowed 23. They ran the ball for 155 yards per game. They allowed 143. They passed for 251 on the season, allowed 211. They had 21 interceptions as a defense. They did allow 21 touchdowns, but 21 interceptions is a really fantastic number. And that shows a group of guys in the secondary that make it hard for quarterbacks to throw the ball. They also had 25 sacks as a team. They allowed 27. So the offensive line didn't do a great job in protection last year. But this, you know, this team is kind of not necessarily the Alcorn of years past, but this is still a dangerous team. And you really have to, you know, look out for them because they're gonna come at you, and they're going to be physical. They're going to hit you, and you just have to be ready. So with all that being said, like I said, I expect a lot of kinks early in the season because this is, you know, a first game, and, you know, both teams haven't played since 2019. So you kind of expect both teams to kind of feel, you know, have a feeling out process. But I like Alcorn in this game. I think the point spread is 17. I think I like Alcorn to win by about, I mean, excuse me, I think the point spread is 13. I expect Alcorn by 17. So I'm going to say 38-21. That's a nice little number to put there. But this should be a good game. I really expect both teams to play hard. I expect to get the most out of Alcorn because they have a lot to prove. There's a lot of hype on Alcorn, which I picked Alcorn to win the SWAC, so I agree with it. But there's a lot to be focused on, and I'm just excited that we have a game to talk about. And so this is not the craziest, you know, preview because it's week one, well, week zero, and you don't really know enough about either team to really sit down and just say this team is gonna do A, this team is gonna do B. But I like what Alcorn does. I like the system that they have in place, and I feel like they're gonna do what they have to do to take care of business in this game. This is a very important game, as I said before, because the MEAC is 10-4 in this series. So it's about time that the SWAC can start to turn that tide around. So if you're going to do it, you have to start with your top team. And if they're playing a team that's not, they definitely have to take care of business. So with all that being said, I'm not gonna hold you too long. Like I said, I just want to drop in and do a quick little something on this game. We'll talk a little bit more about this game on Sunday as we recap it. Tomorrow we have a live edition of Swag Smoke. So if you have checked out the show on YouTube, why don't you go ahead and check it out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. We do Swag Smoke on Thursdays, but this Thursday we have a live show at 4:30 p.m. Central, 5:30 Eastern time. Got a lot going on. We're gonna cover the game as well and talk a little bit of recruiting. Sunday, as I said before, we have our MEAC SWAC Challenge recap. And then Wednesday, we'll start getting ready for week one. And you know, there's a couple of big games going on Sunday, September 5th. So we'll talk about those. And I'm gonna hop on out of here. Like I said, I'm not gonna waste too much time today. So I just wanted to hop in and hop out. And we will see you guys on Sunday with our podcast recap. Later.